The Money Show.
Personal finance.
Well, personal financial advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital, Warren Ingram, is with us this evening. And Warren, I got a letter, and it's time for me to read my letter to you. Dear Bruce, because it's to me, just a quick note, as I suspect you're not in the market to help me. I've got Warren. He's in the market to help you, but could maybe point me in the right direction. I am a 71-year-old divorcee. I own a beautiful guest house in Tambourskloof in Cape Town, and I've had no income since March. I have an access bond of 1.7 million rand, which expires in 2 years' time, and I owe 500,000 rand. I live off the bond, and my investments are around half a million rand. My accountant and tax advisor have advised me to cash it all in and put it into the bond. I'd like a second opinion. So I'm sure this is small stuff for you. No, it's not. It's terrifying. As you can imagine, this is a very stressful time for me to make such a huge decision. My alternative could be to suspend payments on all my investments. I will understand if you're too busy. We're not. And then Cecile took the person's name out, so I don't know. Cecile's our producer. I don't know who this person is. But it gives us a really heartfelt and painful perspective, Warren, on a real crisis for a real person who was running a business very successfully, it would seem. A lovely guest house in Tambourskloof, nice part of Cape Town. But suddenly when visitors can't come, you don't have any income and it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a terrifying story. And also, you know, I don't think it's probably a unique one. I think there are probably a lot of people in a very similar boat. And I just thought, you know, it's not a great topic, but I think it's a very important topic to talk about. And so, I mean, I have a few thoughts. And you know, the one is, you know, I mean, she mentions that her tax advisor is telling her to take her investments and settle the bond. And I think in most instances, that's really great advice, actually. You know, why have investments that may or may not be growing dependent on what the economy is doing, what the markets are doing, whereas you've got a bond and that interest rate that you pay on the bond is a guarantee. You know, the bank doesn't fluctuate that dependent on what they think at the time. They charge you that interest every single month. And the only reason it changes is because, you know, the Reserve Bank changes their rate. So that's a guarantee. That's a known. And so in almost sort of 99 out of 100 times, I would say to someone, take your investments and just settle that bond, especially if you know if you are 1 or 2 years away from being forced to close the bond anyway, because a lot of mortgages have a time frame on them. You know, there's a certain age where they just won't extend a mortgage. And I think this person is in that case now. So it's almost always the case. You know, I think if I was marking a financial planning exam, this is exactly what I'd say. Is take the money, settle the bond, and then hope for the best. But my problem is that hope's never a great investment strategy. And that's what's yeah. bothering me about the advice is it would be foolish to say that's bad advice. I don't think it's bad advice. I think it's most of the time good advice. It's probably not great advice. And what's bothering me is that if that guest house doesn't start to generate some income soon, then unfortunately this person's going to start drawing on the bond again and now have no other resources to keep paying up the monthly requirement, you know, in terms of whatever is owed. And the, you know, the bank will say, fine, you know, you only owe us 50,000 rand, but you still need to pay us whatever it is, 500 rand a month. And so if the guest house owner isn't able to do that, then all of a sudden the terrifying scenario of being at the mercy of a bank where they decide to then, you know, through a huge legal process, but they decide to take control of your destiny is just the situation you don't want to be in. So I'm going to go counter the advice actually. And I think, you know, I mean, it's unlike me to kind of, you know, argue the toss, but I think it's one of those times. And I think if I was in the situation, I would start to play for time. In other words, I would find out, I'm sure the guest house owner already knows, but I'd find out exactly what's required to be paid as a minimum on that mortgage every month and use the investments just to pay that minimum payment. So don't let yourself get behind on your payments. But, you know, for example, on 500,000, if they say, well, that's, you know, that's 5 grand a month or whatever the deal is, then that's exactly what the guest house owner should pay from the investments, and not to do more than that. So don't overpay in this instance. And the only reason is just simply to play for time, hoping that in the months ahead, the tourism industry opens up more, and that guest house starts to generate additional income, and then the business might be in a position to start to pay the living expenses, and then hopefully you can pay off the rest of the bond. But I think it's paying for time is the real trick here.
How important is age in this calculation? If this person was 31 or 41, even 51 rather than 71, with similar constraints, you could argue a different strategy. But this is somebody who, and the only 71-year-old I know who's ever been granted a mortgage was Jacob Zuma. And he got that from VBS. And unfortunately, VBS doesn't exist anymore. So they don't, you know, that package is no longer available. And I'm not sure that it will be widely available anyway to nice ladies in Tamboerskloof. But does age matter in this when making this decision? Because a lot of people in a very similar position will be at a different age stage in life and can afford perhaps to take a different kind of risk.
I think it matters to me from the perspective that that there's such a finite period in which this bond must be repaid. You know, it's an absolute non-negotiable. You know, there's almost no chance that you'll be able to extend the term beyond the next 2 years. Whereas, you know, to use your example, let's say a 35-year-old in the same position, the likelihood is that they've probably got another 5 or 8 or something years to go before that mortgage will need to be repaid. So they would be able to afford to play for even more time. You know, their requirements for the monthly repayments will probably be even less. So they have many more options. But in this situation, the options are narrowing. You know, and that light at the end of the tunnel, unfortunately, is a train in this instance. In that, you know, the bank is going to end the life of this mortgage, and so. You know, I think this lady's in a really tough position. And to be, you know, the first option is play for time. If I'm still in this, if let's just say the whole country's still in this situation 12 months from now, and I really hope it's not, and I'm certainly not predicting that, but let's just say that is a situation. Then the likelihood is that she might have used up a large chunk of her investment money just to keep that mortgage afloat, in which case, I would be saying to her, I'm sorry, but now is the time that you sell your property. And I know it's your income generator.
What we don't know, and what I suspect may be true, can I add an extra layer of complexity to this just to test your mettle?
Sure, but why not?
I wonder if this lady, let's call her, I don't know, what's a good 71-year-old name? Margaret. Let's call her Margaret. I don't know what her name is, but let's call her Margaret. I'm wondering if Margaret, if Margaret lives in this house, or at least has part of this house, because so many people do, if they have a guest house, a small guest house, they may live in part of the property. And so in doing that, she may very well be risking the roof over her head. She doesn't specify that, but this can be the case where you are dependent on this as the roof over your head as well, and it's your only asset. That adds a level of complexity.
It does, and I suspect that you might well be right. And I also, you know, there's so many risks in this situation, you know, because her investments of $500,000 are, you know, are certainly not enough to fund a lifestyle, you know, if there is no guest house in the future. So it's, you know, it's most of her eggs are in one basket, and particularly so if she's living in the house as well. And so to me, you know, the one hope is that that this property is worth a heck of a lot more than that access bond. You know, I think she mentioned that the value of the bond is 1.7, although she only owes 500,000. But to me, you know, if I had to sort of look at a dual, you know, dual approach, or the high road and the low road, to, you know, to quote the Clem Santer, then I think the low road scenario is, you know, if you're still here in a year's time and you've used up most of your savings and things aren't getting better, then you're going to have to really consider selling the house and making another plan.
So the downside. Your strategy does have downside risk here, Warren, because this lady could realize the investments, and let's assume there are no tax implications. She gets 500,000 rand in cash, gives that to the bank. There is no more investment, but there is also no more debt. By paying it off gradually, as you suggest, for the remainder of the period, the minimum every month, you incur further interest as you go. And there's also no guarantee that these investments are going to grow in value. So are you not taking too much risk with your gradual approach, which at first blush I went, geez, Warren, that's brilliant. But then suddenly this occurred to me that there'd be additional expense. And you know I hate additional expense.
Sure. And so we're in the realm of least worst outcomes as opposed to good outcome, bad outcome. Unfortunately, you know, I think maybe the reason why I didn't go to that approach was if you settle a bond, you owe nobody any money. The thing is, the next month you still have no income. And now the problem is that, I mean, she did say that she lives off the money from the mortgage. If the guest house isn't generating money. And so that means she's going to start drawing on the mortgage again, and she's still going to have the rates and taxes, et cetera, that are, you know, and the running costs of the guest house, you know, it's still going to need maintenance, et cetera. And so then all of a sudden, you know, it goes to zero now, but over the next 12 months, it starts to increase again. And then there is zero, there is no other money to be used to actually just service the interest or service whatever's the minimum required on that mortgage. And that's what's worrying me here, is that I don't want to pay the interest either. I'd like to settle that. But if I'm in a situation where I can use my capital just to play for time, that's really, you know, the only reason that I would ever go this route. And I can't see another way out. You know, the other way out is to bite the bullet now and say sell the property. But the reason why I wouldn't.
But the property market is really not supportive of a hasty sale. And that's the problem here too.
Right.
And dear Margaret, right. our fictional character Margaret over here, who's a real person but we've given her a name, is really got Hobson's choice here, because she could just sell the property, but maybe she lives in it. And then with that amount of money, she's certainly not going to get a replacement in Tamboerskloof, even in a buyer's market the way it is at the moment. So she doesn't want to be rushed into a sale. She's got some capital in the form of investments which she can trickle into this property, hoping that the market improves over time. Or she can realize the investment to settle all of her debt. But then there is no cushion. And that is the problem, isn't it? That you've got to get yourself a just a little bit of comfort. So while you may extend the pain, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of coming out of this in one piece. And that's, I think, your scenario, the best scenario that you can paint for us this evening, Warren.
Yeah, and I think you know, my kind of positive case to this is that I mean we are all talking all the time about the domestic tourism market is starting to unlock, and so one hopes that, you know, the Gautengers and the KwaZulu-Natal people start hitting Cape Town again sometime soon, and so, you know, at least, you know, if there's not international tourism, that there'll be some domestic tourism that starts to alleviate the problem a bit. So definitely that's the reason for playing for time. And I think for other people in this position that are struggling, you know, with a mortgage and potentially have some investments, if you have an income stream away from your investments, then definitely take the money from your investments now, settle the mortgage, especially if you're worried about your future and your job and your ability to earn money. Then, you know, having debt compounding against you is a terrible thing. So then definitely, you know, settle that mortgage. Hopefully it's an access kind of a bond so that you can draw on it in the future. But for most people, the answer would be, you know, take your investment, settle the debt, don't pay the guaranteed interest rates. But in this one instance with Margaret in her position, I think it's the right call.
At the risk of being fatalistic here as well, at 71, the odds of you getting sick are higher than they were at 51. And so you've really got to guard your health. You've got to reduce your burden of stress as much as possible, because that can be, you know, have an impact on your sleeping patterns, impact on sleeping patterns affects health, blah, 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 all of these terrible things. You've really got to guard your health at this life stage so that you, again, don't undermine your chances of success. Warren Ingram, thank you, from Galileo Capital. He is a director at Galileo Capital, which means he's very important. And he's also a personal financial advisor with qualifications. And he was once even voted Financial Planner of the Year. Warren Ingram from Galileo Capital.